Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about the loneliness epidemic. Now, if you follow me on social media, if you follow OG Therapy on social media, you'll know that we just posted a reel. It was a collaboration reel with BYU TV and Parenting in Progress, which is a show that I was a guest on, and it just aired this past August. And the episode is about the loneliness epidemic. They wanted me to come on as a professional, and they wanted me to just weigh in on a couple of different family situations that they highlighted in the episode and to have me talk about what I was seeing in these family situations and why the family was experiencing loneliness or feeling disconnected for various types of reasons. And so I did that and I did the episode. Well, they're just promoting the episode right now. And so I thought I'd take the time to go a little bit of a deeper dive than I was able to go in on the episode. The episode, I believe it's a great episode. So I'd suggest you guys all go watch it. We'll put a link in the description. But basically, you can go watch it on BYU TV. And yeah, we'll put a link in the description. But it's Parenting in Progress. So what we're going to do today is I'm going to have a little bit of a special guest with me, not on camera. It's actually my producer, Brandon. So Brandon's going to be helping me out and having a little back and forth with me about this because he is our loneliness correspondent. Yes.
Fortunately for this episode.
He volunteered for this, you guys. I did not shame him into doing this. I didn't say, hey, Brandon, you're really lonely. You need to come and talk about how you're lonely. No, that's not it. The reason why I'm having him do this is because he's in his 20s and the statistics are showing that 20-year-olds and teenagers, in fact, I can't remember all the age demographics, but I'm pretty sure they're all going up in reports of feeling lonely and disconnected or disenfranchised, whatever word you want to use. The statistics that I've seen have definitely been rising and people have been reporting they just don't feel like they belong to something. They don't feel like they're moving in a certain direction and hence cause them to feel lonely. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about it just from my perspective and take that deeper dive into it that I was unable to get to on KBYU TV. Is it KBYU TV?
It's just BYU
TV. BYU TV, okay. I don't know. Why am I throwing the K in there?
Do you think it's a local channel?
Is that what it?
Because all of the Utah locals are.
Okay. All right. Now KJazz, KBYU TV, okay. I'm not originally from Utah, more familiar with the San Diego news market. So it's going to be on BYU TV. But let's get into it and talk about it from my experience and also from your experience, Brandon. So I'll start off by saying, if you haven't seen the reel, check it out. But basically what I said in the reel is that the loneliness epidemic really is not as much about loneliness, meaning loneliness is actually not the problem. It's like a notification. So just like our phone gives us notifications, you know, we get reminders and alerts. Whether it be our battery's going low or, hey, you have an appointment in 30 minutes. Notifications are just that. They're to alert us of something that we need to be aware of, something that we don't want to forget, something, you know, remind us of something. And so from my perspective as a mental health professional and from helping many people who have come to me and said they felt lonely, it wasn't the loneliness of like, hey, I'm in a room all by myself. No, it was more the loneliness of like, hey, I'm in a room, there's lots of people around me, and I feel hundreds of miles apart. That type of loneliness. Now, I know Brandon can only speak from his own personal experiences as a 20-year-old, but the first thing that I wanted to ask Brandon is, does it make sense to you, because you know you were obviously part of helping me make the reel the other day, did it make sense to you when I talked about the loneliness epidemic as being more of a notification, as it's more of like something's out of order, something's not happening in our own individual life that we plan to happen, or we have a loss of something, so maybe we lost our job, maybe we lost a relationship, and that's leaving us feeling some sort of way, and then that eventually leads us to being lonely. So does it make sense that the loneliness is more of like a notification as opposed to actually describing the problem?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Because if the girl says yes to the date, you don't feel lonely. If your friend asks you to hang out, they say yes, you don't feel lonely. If your plans fall through or you have enough energy to fall through on the plans you made 2 weeks ago, you're not feeling lonely. Lonely is there's nothing going on. I'm by myself. What do I feel now?
Very good point. Yeah, you don't see a lot of people saying, hey, I just won first place, got a gold medal, and man, I've never been sadder and more lonely in my life. Now, they may feel that weeks later because they don't have a new goal.
Yeah.
And that might be kind of something to point out too, because when someone has something to look forward to, a date, hang out with your friends, your brain's locked in. They're like, okay, what do I got to get? I got to get my outfit together. I got to do this. Got to wash my car. Got to make sure I'm here. Like, it has something that it's working towards. And last time I checked, our brains like to feel like they have a purpose, like to feel like they're doing something that's meaningful. And so, yeah. So do you think that has to do with it? Do you think that possibly people in your age, in their 20-year-old age, are not necessarily know what they're supposed to be doing? Or know who they're supposed to be doing it with, and maybe they're having ideas in their mind or fantasies of where they should be at that particular age? Could that be adding to their loneliness?
Yes, Mr. Professional, that is correct. But
I would also add, remember, OG therapy is not a therapy. I'm not giving him therapy, even though it may sound like I'm giving him therapy.
I would also add in from the perspective of just thinking at times in my life where I felt the most lonely, it's even just kind of doing the mundane things and being overwhelmed. So if it is, where am I supposed to be at? What are my goals? What's going on? All that overwhelm. And if you, even if you have a significant other or if you don't, it can be, how am I supposed to trudge through this? And then realize, oh, everything I do, I'm with myself. I'm by myself, which I think a lot of people have associated. If I'm by myself, therefore I'm alone, therefore I'm lonely. And that isn't always the case. So I think a lot of things play into it, but loneliness is notification that things are out of order.
That just made me think of, I don't know, not think of one specific movie, but it's made me think of, I've seen some movies and there's a caravan of people that are all like, maybe they're on a pilgrimage, right? Maybe they're going from one destination, they're moving their whole entire village, whatever, to another destination. But for whatever reason, there's a person who is unable to make the trek. Maybe they're physically just not capable of it. For some reason, they're slowing down the whole entire caravan. They see the caravan getting further, further ahead of them, and they're getting so far behind that they don't want to slow up the caravan. They don't want to slow up everyone else's progress. So in their own ways, they kind of just say, go on without me. Save yourselves. I'm reminded of Forrest Gump. You guys ever see Forrest Gump? Lieutenant Dan. If you haven't seen it, sorry for the spoiler. It only came out 30-some years ago. But Lieutenant Dan, there's a scene where Forrest Gump goes in there because Lieutenant Dan was shot. And he talked about how his dad before him, they'd all died in war. So it was like he had this weird thing like, I'm going to go to war. I'm going to be, stories going to be told about me. I'm going to die in war. And so he's laying there. He's got blown up by a landmine or grenade or something like that. And Forrest Gump goes and he saves everybody because they have no man left behind, right? And so he goes back to save Lieutenant Dan. Lieutenant Dan's like, no, save yourself. He's trying to get him away from him. And Forrest Gump says, no, I'm saving you. Picks him up, takes him back. Well, it turns out that Lieutenant Dan loses his legs. So instead of dying a hero in battle, he's now living the rest of his life handicapped in a wheelchair. And he's bitter. He's resentful. He's angry. And he starts drinking a lot. He starts becoming unglued. And so that made me think about that, because when you were saying that, Brandon, I was thinking about that caravan and thinking about someone who feels like, I don't have anything that helps my tribe, my family, my job. And because I don't feel like I have anything that helps them, and also I could say the other thing, either you feel like you don't have anything that helps them, or the things that you do have, they don't care about and they deem it as you don't matter. And they're just like, nah, go sit in the corner, just do the bare minimum. We don't really need you for your opinions or your life experience. So I guess it could be either of those where you feel like you're falling behind, either because you're not needed or because there's something wrong with you that's causing the whole entire group to be slowed down because of you. So then you say, oh, go on without me. Or it could be both, right? There could be both of those present as well. So that's what it made me think of, because loneliness, this type of loneliness, doesn't come from you not having people in your life. It comes more from, I don't know if my life matters to other people's lives.
I'd also add to that, trying to matter in people's lives. Let's just take from, so I'm 28. I got social media. I got Facebook in the seventh grade. So I've been able to compare myself to everybody around me constantly at all times and seeing what they're doing and what's supposed to happen or how are things supposed to go. And what it made me think of is people have things to offer or they have their different likes and disinterests, whatever it may be. But because of social media or whatever mirror they're looking at, they are trying to fit in and they're realizing like, oh, well, according to this social media post that as a guy, I'm supposed to be this, or as a girl, I'm supposed to be these things, but I like this over here that doesn't align with that. So does part of me not matter to fit in? And I think people are reshuffling pieces of who they are instead of letting it kind of build naturally and let their personality form, that they're stripping parts of them away to fit into something, which is then causing them to feel like, I don't know who I am, therefore I'm lonely. So I think the loneliness is a bigger thing of, I don't know who I am or how I fit in any way. And I'll just start throwing and taking pieces of myself to add or take away to fit in. And that's leaving people confused. And that confusion is being classified as loneliness.
Well, yeah, if you look at fitting in more like a puzzle than it is like you belong, it makes more sense because one piece missing from a puzzle, it's not complete.
Right.
So fitting in really is more about like, do I add something in any way, shape, or form to this big thing? If I don't add anything, it could be value, it could be anything at all. If I don't add something, it could be sense of humor, right? Every friend group, every job you've ever had, you need the people who are super adamant, super structured, working hard, usually in HR and stuff like that. And you also need the salespeople who are better talkers than actual doers, right?
Absolutely.
And I'm looking over at him because he's in sales right now. So. Yeah, but it makes a whole lot of sense, you guys, because if you don't feel like you fit in, that means that you're not helping. That means that you're kind of on the outcast or you're on the outside. And I see this a lot in teenagers because obviously, I'm a high school teacher and I work with a lot of teenagers in therapy. And, when I was growing up, the worst thing you could be is someone that wasn't in a group, a social group that was meaningful. The worst thing you could do is be with a group of kids that they don't even have a name for the group, right? If you're a skater, a skateboarder, at least your group has a name.
Right.
If you're a football player, your group has a name, a cheerleader, a dancer, you're in the band. Yeah, someone may say, oh, band's not as cool as football, but at least you have a group of people you fit in. You're a piece of that puzzle, right? But when you don't even know who your group is, when you don't have a group, that's a different type of loneliness. That's a type of, it's the opposite of validation. It's validating something different. Instead of validating that you matter, it's validating that people's lives could go on and you wouldn't even be missed.
I have a question for you just thinking about this. So I was kind of bringing up like, when you don't know who you are and you don't know how you fit in, you're going to feel lonely. Now, let's say, what does it do on like the psychological perspective if a person is creating an avatar or personifying parts of their personality on social media to say, I am this person because I think this is what's going to get me liked. And deep down, they know they're not quite that person or they're hiding, and not necessarily imposter syndrome, but just from a psychological aspect, like, is that lying to yourself? And would that feeling be construed as loneliness? Or what would you see from that perspective of having that?
Well, that's almost even worse, because if that person's not careful, they will never feel the loneliness. Oh. See, loneliness is a notification, much like pain. You need to feel it to do something about it. The person you described is more likely to be obsessed with creating that persona so much that they will never sit alone and be alone with their own mind to feel how lonely they really are.
So loneliness is required, is part of
for the change. Experience. Absolutely. If you don't feel pain, you're not going to live long. If you don't feel sadness, you're not going to understand like it's having a numb affect, right? When I am working with youth that are suicidal and they don't have any feeling, that worries me more.
Okay.
When they're numb to feeling. So the people that you talk about, they're crazy about having some sort of a clout on online. It's crazy about developing this persona. And they're working so hard. They know they're an imposter, but who wants to sit there and think about being an imposter? That'll make you feel down, depressed, and lonely. So instead, they double, triple, quadruple down on the persona. And then what they do is they just pick up their real life and their real personality and they put it inside their online persona because they have more control over that. At least they feel like they have more control of that. The problem is the brain doesn't recognize an online persona. It doesn't recognize that person as being you. It knows it's not you. It's an extension, a creation of you, similar to actors. How many actors do you think in the history, like well-known actors, not even the ones we've never heard of, how many actors do you think have felt lonely because people love them for the roles that they played, but not for who they are?
Well, Rainn Wilson, the guy who played Dwight on The Office, I saw a clip of him on social media a couple weeks ago saying, "I'm glad I made this character, but my name's not Dwight." And even from his thing, he's one of the most well-known people in Hollywood and social media. And it was an interview with Bryan Cranston. He's like, "Well, you crushed the role. Like, it's rooted deep in their brain stem that you're Dwight." And you could even see from Rain's response, it's like, "Oh, but that's not who I am." Yeah, that you could see how much it hurts people. Like, I created this thing, but not that loneliness thing. It's tough. It generates a lot of it.
Now let's use an example of a person who got stuck in the character and never got out. I'm thinking Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, well, Johnny Depp, for sure. Absolutely.
Sometimes the best actors, they're so good at being that character. But from my experience, it's probably because they don't have their own character. It's easy to remove yourself to fit into a different role if yourself is really fluid and it's not grounded in your own unique personality.
Okay. Now, total kind of side question off of that. How can you as a professional see the difference between somebody who's pulling part of that character? This may be for people, teenagers, social media, if it's actual actors, and then somebody who they're playing, they're just being themselves. Like one person that kind of like society has said, oh, they're one and the same as Robert Downey Jr. and Tony Stark in that role. Can you see that there's a difference in those, or like, how does that play into it?
It's interesting that you picked him, because did you ever see any clips of him being on the Joe Rogan podcast?
I didn't watch that episode.
So one thing that Joe Rogan pointed out was that he was wearing a necklace that came down from and over his heart that almost looked exactly like the power source that he has. Right. And Joe kind of looked at him, mocked, is like, "That, what is that?" And at first Robert Downey was like, "Oh, you know, I just kind of, you know, I like it, this and that." Like, but it really looks a lot like that.
Yeah.
And Robert Downey Jr. kind of subtly was like, "Yeah, I guess it just makes me feel comfortable." it's the role became a part of him, mm-hmm. because it was so much of what he got his attention for. Now, also, too, he was coming from a very bad place.
Yeah.
He lost all like the credit from Hollywood, you know, his drug addiction, you know, stuff like that. So for him to come back, this role was the new creation. It's the new version of himself. So he was a very interesting person, because I think much like Johnny Depp, the role became his blankie. Mm. It became what kept him safe. It came protected him. Now, I don't know him personally. No, I'm not his therapist. So, but from the outside perspective, that's the way it looks to me. And I think teenagers, young adults, just average people, how cool would it be if we had, I don't know, something that we were so well liked and known for? It was separate from our own character that we didn't have to protect our insecurities. So, for example, professional athletes, college athletes. When you are known, let's say it's a high-profile sport like football, basketball, something like that. When you're known and the majority of people like you, respect you for being good at that thing, and then that thing's done. That character, that role is over. Because in my opinion, athletes are really physical entertainers.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's entertainment, but they're doing a physical form of entertainment.
Yeah, the NFL's categorized as an entertainment company.
Yeah, without a doubt, yeah. Absolutely, right? And when that role's over, you don't get to play that role again, right?
So then kind of tying it all back in, loneliness then is the invitation to move on to a new chapter of life and to evolve.
Loneliness is the validation that wherever you're at is now expired. And if you don't create something new, and I mean a new role to play, like meaning for normal people, if you lose a job, you lose a relationship. If you don't figure out who you are outside of that relationship, outside that job, if that relationship and that job became your identity, because it typically does, right? You spend more time at work, you spend more time dating a relationship or marriage someone, then you do other things, right? So if it becomes your role and becomes your identity and that thing is done, you have to go through a grieving process. Part of the grieving process is loneliness, sadness. So it's more of like, hey, that time of your life has expired. It's time to now develop and create new goals, new aspirations, because the development of your sense of self is so predicated upon what you offer to other people. So if you're a professional athlete, we did an episode about a quarterback recently, right? Yeah, I knew that. We did an episode about Tua talking about him transitioning from football to out of football and how hard that'd be when you're doing so good at football, because now you have to go figure out, who am I without football? Right. So very similar. So the loneliness is when you have not accepted that that relationship or multiple relationships in your life has expired. You now have to move on to other phases of your life. It could be with friends, could be with work, could be what have you. How many people are listening to this are at a job that sucks and they don't like, but they just have to be there for whatever reason? Well, the expiration, the expiration date has long been past its date. And so every time they go to work, it's like drinking a gallon of milk that's months old. And so it makes them sick, right? So the loneliness, getting back to what you said, Brandon, the loneliness, when it gets to become to the point where it's now an epidemic, there are tons of people are reporting being lonely than they've ever been before. It's a lot of unresolved grief from past relationships that just keep on stacking up on top of each other. And we just keep on trying to survive and keep our head above water. If we don't do an about face and go back inside of ourselves and figure out who we are today and what we need to do to be able to find things in our life that we're going to add value. And I hate using the word value because there's so much more. It's like things that make other people's lives better, easier. And then those people go, thank you so much. I couldn't have done that without you. You need to figure out more of those interactions in your life.
And those could be even something as simple as, like, even with my friends, is if I'm having a rough time and they just come over and hang out with me and we just play Madden or do something, like, just being able to sit there with me is extremely valuable. I think a lot of people, because of social media, they've construed value of, I either have to make money from it.
Yes, that's why I didn't like using that word. Yeah,
it's, this meant a lot to me. You have to mean a lot to people, and that can mean very small or big ways, just meaning a lot to other people.
Yeah, playing games, video games with your friends is not going to necessarily make sure that you're not lonely. But playing video games with your friends together, meeting up with them, and telling your friend, hey, man, I really need this, or reaching out to friends, hey, man, mind if you come over? Just, I know we normally do online or whatever, but could we just kind of do it in person, because I've just been feeling horrible this week, and I need to get out of my own head.
Yeah, 100%. That's, yeah, it's like, even with roommates. I remember one roommate, when we were living together, me and him were going through it, and I asked him, I was like, hey, man, when I see you going through a tough time, like, what can I do to help? And he said, I don't know how to ask for help or say anything. I just need you to sit there. And we just spent a lot of nights just sitting there, not talking, playing games, but just knowing that that meant a lot to him and that meant a lot to me. I can't put a value on that, but me and him both reflect back on it, be like, we make jokes about it, but that time of our life was super needed because we felt extremely alone from other people, but we could be alone together, which made us less lonely.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect segue into possibly a part two episode of this, of loneliness in the workplace. Ooh. Because what you said is pretty telling. I mean, when you're around people and they just kind of get you, they understand you, you understand them, it's easy for them to step in and fill in the blanks for you. It's easy for them to finish your sentences. It's easy for them to be like, hey, listen, let's go grab a bite to eat. And like, no, I don't want it. It's like, come on, let's go. And then they go, then they're happy, right? So in the workplace, we spend so much of our life at work. You guys that have followed this podcast for a long time, I really believe that the loneliness epidemic is a direct result of our civilization, our society being very socially unhealthy, not having good, healthy relationships. And so, unfortunately, there's been a changing of the guard for a lot of companies to bring back into the workplace more than just the job to be done. They're trying to create a culture, more family environment. Everybody says it. I have reason to believe that not every company actually does that. For some companies, it's just a talking point. It's a box that they check. Yeah, we had a presentation today about how to deal with the loneliness epidemic in your own personal life. You guys all got it? Okay, great. Now get your ass back to work or else we're going to fire you.
Yeah, you also got to add in the fact is the people who are saying, oh, I want us to be a family, did they come from a healthy family or are they just repeating dysfunctional family habits inside their business?
Yeah, that's a good point. Someone that's running a business that does not have a healthy family in their own personal life, they didn't come from a healthy family. So they want you guys to have a family environment, which in their mind means control. They're just going to control you, not really have to listen to you. But I think we could jump on that another episode because as we started, before we got on this podcast, started talking about the loneliness epidemic, I'm like, we'll probably have to do multiple episodes about this because this is just kind of like a general back and forth type of episode. But you guys, just in summarization, you're only as good as your relationships, meaning feeling good about yourself. If you are doing a lot for your family, your friend relationships, your work relationships, when I say doing a lot, meaning it's validated. They want your input. They know that you matter to them. They know that without you, the job, the family, the friend group wouldn't be the same. And Brandon, you said it's hard to put a value on that. Well, I think that's where a lot of companies are having a painful wake-up call and painful reality. They were depending that you couldn't put a value on that. In today's world, ever since the pandemic, people started to ask themselves, do I even like what I'm doing? Why am I freaking doing this? A lot of people quit their jobs because they found out that they weren't happy. Now, some of them had to go back to those jobs because they figured out that what makes them happy doesn't pay them a lot of money, which is a different issue. But I think a lot of people are exploring more of like, what do I have to do to be happy? And to be happy, you're going to have mutually beneficial relationships, relationships that you know that you're appreciated at the work. They know that what you do is something they can't just hire someone or some temp to fill your job. So it gives you security because you're going to feel safer and secure in a friendship if you have something that those friends need. You're going to feel safer and secure in a business and a job when you know that you have something unique to you that they need, experience, talent, whatever it may be. But we can dive into that a little bit deeper on our next episode. Brandon, thanks for jumping on the podcast and help me kind of sharing that information. But you guys go check out the episode that I did with BYU TV, Parenting in Progress. And like I said, we'll put it in the description of this podcast. If you're seeing this on YouTube, I think you can just go to BYU TV/parenting, BYUTV.com/parentingprogress. I believe that's what it is. And also follow us on Instagram on OG.therapy, on TikTok at OG Therapy Podcast, but it's underneath my name, David Kozlowski, but it's OG Therapy Podcast, right?
OG Therapy Inc.
OG Therapy Inc. I'm sorry. We had a little issues with the TikTok account. And then on YouTube is OG Therapy. And you guys, thank you guys so much for joining us. Thank you guys for being here with us. Go look for those episodes on loneliness epidemic coming out. Until next time, be cool.
Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, score up to 70% off everything home with fast shipping. And for a limited time, get 10% back when you join Wayfair Rewards. Shop early Black Friday deals now at Wayfair.com. Terms apply.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.